now he doesn't want to mind. Well, let's start all over. Sorry, guys. I'm a little slow on. There you go. All right. Now, let's see if everything is fine. I know you want to get out of here. No, you don't. You want to stay and hear what God has to say. We don't have many small children. Okay, that's good. I want to start with reading a scripture. In John chapter 8, Jesus is talking. And he had some followers. And so he spoke these words. He says in John chapter 8, verse 31, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" You know, right after that, some of the Jews, righteous Jews, said, "Yeah, we're not bond. We're not in bondage. We're sons of Abraham. We have freedom." And so they just didn't get it. Jesus is saying, when we know the truth and we apply that truth in our lives, that truth will set us free from whatever bondage we may have. I'm almost sure that every one of you have seen some commercials on TV where they have a certain medicine that they're advertising. And so, you know, a lot of describing what kind of symptoms it treats, you know. And then after they talk about the medicine, there's usually, I think it's required by law, that they speak about all the side effects that those things can give you. Do you even pay attention to those side effects? You know, you probably take some medicine. Probably every one of you takes some sort of medicine. Do you know what those side effects are? Most of you, I don't care. The doctor says, okay, I'm going to just take it. You know, I'm going to sound like the reading of the side effects of medicine today for most of you. Because we don't know or don't care that what we're doing, sometimes it hurts us, it brings damage to our brain, to our personality. As a matter of fact, I probably am losing some of you because it's been more than 2 minutes since I started talking. And you lost focus already. You'll probably have to make an effort to focus on me today and what I'm sharing. If you cannot stay with me, then you are already a victim of what I'm going to talk about. And I'm going to talk about your brain and social media. Pastor, do you have to go there? Yes. I do. I went online media to find out what is being said out there about the issues of social media and its effects on us. I found a few pretty sobering claims. Here are a few things that I found out. To start with, social platforms can help build needed connections with like-minded individuals And sometimes it can increase feelings of belonging and introduce someone to diversity of thinking. But just like, you know, caffeine can wake you up, but too much of it will get you wired. Overuse of social platforms can increase the prevalence of anxiety and depression. Now, I know anxiety and depression are being mentioned lately quite a bit here in this house. And if you're in the community, you know that there are a lot of people suffering with anxiety and depression. I also found out that some people build their own personal identity through social media. The problem is that often those identities are insincere, misleading, counterfeit, and people who build those personal identities don't even recognize that it's all a farce, that it's all a makeup. It's not really who they are. Too much time connecting virtually can and is leading to a breakdown of the in-person skill sets, leaving individuals unable to engage in meaningful conversations because such skills are being sacrificed for constant connection, resulting in short-term attention deficit and a decreased ability to retain information. Now, nowadays you go to a restaurant, and if the waiters and waitresses are a little slow, you'll see everybody just reaching out for the back pocket. Nobody wants to talk to nobody else. They're just in their own world, just like the picture depicts. Our growing reliance on social platforms is absolutely impacting the parts of our brain that engage with reward pathways, with memory processes, with decision making, with identity information, emotional awareness, and overall attention. We get bored quickly. In fact, some of you are thinking, why don't you just change the subject right now? We people tend to get unsatisfied very quickly, no matter what. We cannot think of a single subject for more than 30 seconds before our brain just goes out and whooshes out to the side and goes into another subject. We cannot follow through a subject discussion without jumping into other subjects. An example of that happens when we have, you know, at home, we have controversies with our spouses, our children, and we start talking and we don't stay stuck to the subject. We have to bring yesterday, we have to bring last week, we have to bring the other week. And then we talk about the grocery bills, and then we talk about the gas bills, and we forget what we started arguing about to start with. We cannot follow through a subject discussion without jumping into other subjects. Why? Because our minds are scrolling like you do the media or TV. And so our brains gets the idea based on what we do. And it adopts that. Before we know it, our brains, without even us moving, our brain is going from subject to subject, cannot stay put in there for more than 2 seconds, and we're going to another subject. Let's say you're in the doctor's office in a waiting room and you left your phone in the car. What emotions do you experience when you realize this. I forgot my phone. I left it. I lost it. And you're ready, you know. Should I go and check? Did I leave it at home or did I just lock it in the car? And you don't care what people around you is thinking. You haven't seen them yet. You're just concerned about missing your phone. A surge of panic. Boredom. Your brain wants to scroll and your fingers are ready doing the motions without the phone. How difficult it is to sit with only your own thoughts. You don't want to do that. You want something else to entertain you. And especially if there's no TV in the waiting area. Man, that's murder. I pay you doctors enough for you to put something in there for me to get entertained. Now, 15 years ago, in that same situation, you would have struck a conversation with somebody beside you. You probably at least would have given them a smile. Now you didn't even look at their faces. Or probably you has reached out for the table that hopefully was there with some magazines, and you look, picked one and started scanning through the magazine. Or maybe you think about something important that you recently heard. Or you took a notepad and wrote a grocery list because you don't have a phone. But I forgot. You don't even have pens and pencils and notes anymore. You rely on your phone to do everything like that. Maybe you simply took your surroundings and you look at them. I do that a lot. I go into buildings. I see how the ceiling is made. How is the carpentry done? The details. I observe the smells. Well, I don't observe. I smell them. I hear the sounds. You know, now that I have hearing aids, I can see, I can hear a lot more, so I pay attention a little more. I see the posters on the office walls. I bet you've been to the doctor several times this year and you cannot describe me what the office looks like because you never looked at it. You had your phone with you. By the way, those observations of present environment through the use of the five senses that God gave us are actually called attention training, or more commonly known as the practice of being in the present. You know, a lot of us go to a place like that and we just get checked out. We get lost. And if we don't have a phone, we may as well go to sleep because I can't stay awake and handle it. Oh, and guess what is exactly the opposite of being present-centered? Of using your senses. The opposite of that is called anxiety. There's some definitions that I got here. Stress, you know, we say we all are stressed out. Well, these are the definitions. Stress is an appropriate biological response to an active stressor or danger. Anxiety, on the other hand, is the emotional and physiological response to stressors that are not actually present. So most of the times that we say, oh, I'm all stressed out, that's not stress, it's anxiety. You're not stressed. There's no stressors in there. It's all in here. Because you're thinking in what you saw or what you didn't get to see that you're concerned about. I I know some of you are checking out. And I want to point out that if you are checking out, you may want to consider the fact that you are already in bondage. When we leave the present moment, the present circumstance, and we go into social platforms, emails, and the increasing devastating news cycle, we open ourselves to many new moments of anxiety, stressors that were not present with us when we arrived to that waiting room in the medical office. And when we experience that anxiety, our bodies thinks it's stress and causes a physiological response as if the stressor was actually present. But it's really not. So the stress hormones meant to keep us safe from real and present dangers end up being awakened each time we imagine a non-present danger. The result, we end up walking around each day increasingly anxious with all of our stress hormones elevated because of the non-present stressors. So we're just tricking our bodies into thinking there's danger when there is really not physically out there. But you know, I think it's time. This would be a good moment to release that tension in your shoulders. Relax. Take a deep breath, if you can do that, and just chill. Don't feel guilty yet. You're just getting information. Nobody's pointing a finger at you. There's no physical stressor here. Take a breather. Overuse of social media and of media in general affects our biological, physiological, social, and emotional selves. You know, this is something fairly new. We don't know all of it yet. But researchers are getting concerned out there, and some alarming results are coming up. People now have more things to focus on. But they tend to focus for very short periods of time. The prime culprit in hijacking attention spans is a smartphone. Now listen to this. Americans, on average, okay, this is average, touch their phone an astounding 2,617 times a day. This is what marketing researchers are finding out. You know, they're trying to make you go into 5,000, so they're making easier to type phones and stuff. More than 40% of cell phone consumers said they look at their cell phone within 5 minutes of them waking up. And some of you, you don't go for your glasses, you go for your phone. And then you get your glasses to see. 50% said they check them in the middle of the night. So maybe you went to sleep at 11 o'clock that night because you were on Facebook or some other media from 8 to 11. You finally went to sleep at 12:30, and at 3 o'clock you had to go to the bathroom, but you had to check your phone just in case. 50% of those that were surveyed. This inability to unplug from media creates anxiety. People who continually check their phones report higher stress levels than those who do it less frequently. And then stress, in turn, hurts our ability to concentrate, and thereby having these memory loss problems. What came What did I come in this room for? I can't remember. Where did I put my keys? I can't remember. What was it that I was supposed to go to the grocery store to get? I forgot. Oh, I didn't know that I had an appointment. I forgot. Too many I forgot, and I thought it was age. No, the younger ones are doing it too. And sometimes even worse than the older ones. Because they didn't grow up with smartphones, older Americans may be better equipped for serious thinking. There you go, young guys. There's a challenge for you. You think you can do serious thinking? You think you know it all? Well, statistics and discoveries reveal that older people that did not depend that much on the phone are able to think things through a lot better. And the excuse for the younger ones, we'll pay for somebody to do it for us. Sure, you get the money, that's fine. But don't go ask dad or mom for money for something that you ought to know to do yourself. The older folks are often better trained to be patient with complex tasks. I know I got grandchildren, and I got some children. Still, the older folks can stand being bored for more than 2 seconds. I think the generation that is most at risk are the millennials and the Gen Z generation, who have zero tolerance for boredom. Now, a few tips for building up attention spans. First of all, this is what a secular source tells people to do to counteract all of this. They say you ought to meditate. And then they tell you, to stay away from social media, you need to learn to meditate, and you should go online and find out how meditation is done. Secondly, practice attentive listening. What you're trying to do right now with me and you can't focus, this is what they're recommending. Try to pay attention. Try to listen and make eye contact so that you are not distracted with anything else. Except you start looking at, your nose is crooked and you don't pay attention to what you're hearing. So practice attentive listening. Thirdly, read more. Get you a hard copy Bible, not the app on your phone. Get you books. Read for more than 2 minutes. I know some of us, if there's no pictures, we don't want to touch that book or that magazine. And you know what? There's a lot of problem with kids in high school going to college that still don't know how to read properly, and especially how to interpret what they read. They cannot concentrate that long. Read more, pay attention, develop a reading routine, and make time for reading, possibly without distraction, so that you can read for about 30 minutes at least the first couple of times. Then the curse word, get moderate levels of exercise by jogging, riding a bike, or taking a brisk walk. We need to take care of our bodies and our brain. you know, sitting on a couch or a chair and thinking that this is exercise, you know, eating chips or nuts or whatever else, that's not exercise. Next is reduce distractions, and boy, are they out there. The commerce today wants to get your attention, and they'll do whatever. We have to reduce distractions somehow. And finally, the last of these recommendations, try to do one thing at a time. You know, there's a big emphasis for multitasking. And we do a lot of things very poorly. There's no excellence anymore. We just try to get by with whatever. Well, you can do it yourself. You don't like the way I did it. No excellence, no pride. So this is what the world is telling you. Well, God's word has a few tips for us. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Many of you come to church from Sunday to Sunday, and the rest of the week the Bible is never touched. What I say and what you experience here on Sunday is not enough to carry you through the week. Try eating a good meal on Sunday and expect that meal to carry you through the week without eating anything else. You will die Monday morning. The same thing happens spiritually. Listen, if you are followers of Christ, then you need to become his disciples so that we can know the truth and so that we can be set free. And he said, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples. Well, abiding in his word is more than just reading it from Sunday to Sunday. That's all I'm going to say about that. Like this guy will say. James 1, verse 19. "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." God is saying, pay attention. Listen to what others are saying. Be slow to speak. Interesting, we were given 2 ears and only 1 mouth. That means we ought to hear twice as much as we speak. Sometimes we want to hear ourselves because we think we're so great. I think the point is clear. Proverbs chapter 6. You know, the world was telling us to do exercise and do things. This is what Proverbs 6:6 says. "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands." Actually, a lot of swiping of the hands. "To sleep, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." In other words, get busy. Don't just sit and scroll in that phone or whatever else media you're addicted to. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses was reminding the people of Israel what God had told them. And he says in Deuteronomy 6:6, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Well, for them to get to your heart, it probably has to go through your eyes or your ears. You have to read or hear them first. You shall teach them diligently to your children. What are you teaching your children? If you don't have the word in you, there's not much word you can teach them. And believe me, they need it. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that you can read them. But, oh, you don't read anymore. All you do is look at pictures anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he's saying, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. Jesus paid a high price to make you a temple of his spirit. And you know, Malachi says, you know, you're not taking care of my temple. And he was talking about the physical temple. Things were not taken care of in the temple. It was abandoned. To us, the temple is a different place. Now it happens to be our bodies. And we do all kinds of weird stuff with our bodies that are not good. Some of us have many excuses not to do the right things with our bodies. And, you know, eventually we pay the consequences. Our body starts to fail. Because we abuse it, we didn't treat it right. We didn't treat it at the temple, as the temple of God, whom Christ paid a high price to give us. Now, we are going to get a new body, but I'm sure we have to give an account for what we did with that, with this physical body. And finally, that word finally, in Matthew 6, Jesus says, verse 34, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day, it's its own trouble." I think he was in some ways referring to this multitasking thing that we have. We want to do everything in one day so that we can spend tomorrow just chilling the way we want it. Changing the remote. Now, I know I've said a few things, and many of you have a glaze in your eyes. This is not an issue that you can resolve in a day. You have to give yourself time to detox because you're addicted. And you have to own it. You have to admit it. And you have to start taking baby steps to do something about it. Now, you can deny. You can go into denial and say, "I don't have a problem, I can quit whenever you want," but you never quit. And you never bring balance. It's not a matter of dropping everything, it's a matter of getting self-control. You know, you go to work, you work from 8 to 5 or whatever other hour. When you leave that place, you're supposed to leave everything at the office and go home and be with your family. But that phone is 24/7 beside you, and you don't want to let go. Something has to give. Your brain is paying for all the abuse you're giving it, and it's changing your personality to where you can't think straight, you can't retain, and you can't solve problems. You're missing out on living an abundant life. You're buying the lies of the enemy, who is the greatest deceiver, and you're not paying attention to the author of truth, of abundant life. I'll finish with this. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal your life and to kill you if he can and to destroy your brain." Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." Father, I thank you that you have given us warning lights. And Father, we see how our brains don't quite function the way you design them to. We tend to forget short-term things and get so distracted and get so caught up on things that shouldn't be so important, and yet we make them so. Father, we live in anxiety. We live in stressful times, and that's not what you intended for us. Father, I pray that we learn to hear what you wrote to us. Help us to believe that which you've written us, because your word is truth. Help us to walk in it so that we can become free of those destructive addictions that we have adopted. Forgive us, Lord, and restore us, Lord. And help us to walk and enjoy the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. I bless you, people, and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. There's a meeting that Matthew has, wherever that is. Where's the meeting? Right there in that corner. Okay. You're dismissed. If anyone needs prayer, I'm going to be here. Please come. Thank you.